to all of you. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. We welcome each of you. Today is Tuesday, February 20th, 2024, and this is the City Council meeting for the City of South Jordan. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I have the privilege of serving as Mayor of the City of South Jordan with this outstanding City Council seated up here next to me. We appreciate each of you and all you do for our city. We're going to excuse Mrs. Zander tonight, who's away on other business and unable to join us. And we want to thank our staff, our administrative staff. Thank you so much for being here. All of you that are here, welcome to anyone joining us, whether you're here to present or whether you're here to speak or just to listen. We welcome any members of the public who are with us here in person, anyone joining us online. Thank you so much for being here with us. We are going to open our meeting tonight. I have a change on this with an invocation. This is the wrong one. Hold on. I believe by Rachel, right? Yes, our public information officer, Rachel Van Cleve. That's different than what is listed on the agenda, but we appreciate you, Rachel. Thank you.
Don Tingey, it was me a favor.
Yes.
Dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity to gather today and to witness what living in a free country looks like and in a wonderful local government that we have, Lord. And just pray that you bless our leaders here and help them make wise decisions. And Lord, thank you so much for everything that we have and everything that we get to be a part of here at the City of South Jordan. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. All right, we will now have the Pledge of Allegiance, which will be directed by Joey Collins, our Associate Director of Public Works. Mr. Collins, welcome to our meeting. It's nice to have you here.
Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You can be seated.
Thank you. All right, item D on our agenda, we have minutes that have been sent out in draft form from our February 6, 2024 City Council study meeting and our February 6, 2024 City Council meeting. Anyone have any concerns or amendments to make to those minutes? If not, can I get a motion to approve those draft minutes?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve the minutes from February 6, 2024 City Council study meeting and the City Council meeting on the same day.
Thank you, Mr. Shelton. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Any additional discussion?
Just next time, it'd be nice if Anna knew Mandarin to translate things properly.
I'll learn it.
You have at least a year.
That's awesome. Did you put in, I don't know if I saw in the minutes that Mr. McGuire did commit to bringing me a red envelope next time.
That was actually discussed later.
No, I mentioned it during the
meeting. Oh, did you?
Yeah. Anyway, okay, all in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Those minutes are approved, thank you. All right, next we have our mayor and council reports, and this is just an opportunity that we try to take to report and to really let you know what we're doing as the elected officials that you've put in these seats, just to give you information about what we've done, what we're kind of doing and working on, and how we've been engaged on behalf of the city over the last couple of weeks since we met before. Would you like to go first?
Sure.
Thank you.
So since our last meeting, Mayor, I attended the League of Cities and Towns Legislative Policy Committee meeting twice. Once today and once a week ago, Monday. Just been involved with that. Not nearly as much as you have, but.
No, but it's pretty all-consuming right now.
It
the
is.
End of the legislative session.
For sure. Anyway, those are all the meetings I've attended.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that. Would you like to go?
Sure. So I attended the Mountain West Capital Network luncheon or gala, and Dave Layton was recognized as Entrepreneur of the Year there.
That's
and
nice.
So it was a very big turnout, and it was, he got there. The governor was there as well and spoke, and so it was a really, really good event. So could do that. I attended the Sojo Race Series. As always, it's always a good event, and the city does a great job with that. And also, just this morning, just attended the South Valley Sewer Board meeting, and just continuing to talk about, you know, the future projects and future maintenance issues and all those kind of things, but everything still seems to be flowing just fine.
That's good. Yeah. That's the best news ever.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about the sewer district until something goes wrong, and then everybody knows they exist. So, yeah. So that's the best report we could get. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mrs. Johnson.
Oh, I don't have anything at this time.
Okay, thank you. Mr. McGuire.
Yeah, I have a few pictures if they can pull those up. So tying in with our last meeting, Harriman High School had their Chinese New Year celebration. The mayor and I were able to attend, and a picture of my kids there, and then on the bottom, just some of the festivities going on. Just grateful for the Chinese program, the impact that's had on specifically my family, of course, but also just those in the Jordan School District. We were able to have Bingham High represented, South Jordan Middle, East Lake Elementary, Mountain Creek, and Harriman High School all had students participating. And hopefully next year, they'll be able to have Monta Vista Elementary also participate.
Attended. I believe that's the plan. Yeah. I was told by the teacher from Bingham that it will be hosted at Bingham next year, and Monta Vista, I think, is planning on joining them.
Yeah, they're working out details
so I hope,
for next year.
Yeah.
My wife and I attended Representative Jordan Tusher's family night at the Capitol. You can see no families fully were there. my kids weren't feeling well, so they didn't attend. But it was great just to have some time with Representative Tusher to hear what he's working on, hear concerns of other residents that were there, and then had a few moments for my wife and I to meet with Representative Tusher privately concerning some legislation that's concerning to our family. And so just grateful for the time that he puts forth serving and meeting with residents that he represents. And then I had a coordination meeting with our assistants, and not assistant, our city manager. I don't
we
know where that was
him.
Going
yeah.
from. Yeah, we did promote him. and just encourage my fellow council members to make the time to sit down and to have a meeting with Dustin. I found it quite valuable. Some of the frustrations that I have, of course, city staff's already working on them and on top of things. But it was just nice to, yeah, verify that we're on the same page, and hopefully some of the projects that kind of feel like they're stalled out a little bit will move forward, and I know that staff is working diligently on them. So appreciate that. And Dustin should update his profile picture on the website. I can help him with that going forward.
I believe they're working on that.
Great. That's everything, Mayor.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, the Chinese New Year celebration with five of our schools was really great, really great. And I didn't know that Monta Vista had one that same night as well, that they were holding at Bingham High School until it was too late to get there. But I heard that one went really well, too. I have no doubt that it did. But the five schools that participated in the Chinese New Year program, it was great. The dual language immersion program is such it's such an incredible opportunity that students who choose it can choose it. Families who want to be part of it can or can't, you know, you don't have to be. But when the kids graduate, the kids that have done that program, they speak a whole nother language. There's no extra cost. It's just part of, it's a great opportunity. So it was fun to see that. I felt like I learned a lot that night too. The kids did a really good job. So I attended the National Association of Regional Councils annual conference in Washington, D.C., representing the state of Utah as chair of Wasatch Front Regional Council. There's a lot of acronyms that go along with that. It's a lot of words. It's very wordy. Wasatch Front Regional Council, which we refer to in acronym form, WFRC, as you know, it oversees planning, transportation and transit planning for the Wasatch Front for the next 30 years. You know, we always are out 30 years. That we're doing master planning and how to marry transit and transportation with land use and planning and economic development. So none of these things are considered in silos, that they are always holistically considered. None of them have a singular impact, right? They all have to be integrated to get it right. And as we continue to grow as a state, that's really important. And so it's really a privilege to chair the council. We also took our friends from the Mountain Lands Association of Governments. So we have five counties plus two more that we're also the Association of Governments for. And then the Mountain Lands Association of Governments is Utah County. And then they have Summit and Wasatch that they are also the AOG for. So Mayor Cafusi chairs MAG, Mayor Cafusi of Provo. And so we went together with the executive directors of WFRC and MAG and went to the national conference and had some really great meetings with a lot of federal officials and our peers from across the country to talk about some of our, it really is helpful to gather with these folks and to talk about things that we're doing, things that we're facing, things that they're doing, different ideas, funding options, just lots of things. We just brainstorm a lot together during those couple days. And then the last day there, I had the chance to meet with all four members of Utah's congressional delegation, plus the staff from both Senate offices. The Senate had been in a very long session all weekend. They worked, they didn't get to go home, whatever. And so by the time they finished, the senators went home. So we just met with staff from the Senate, but we met with all four members of the House. And it was good. It was just really good. And so they're aligned and very aware of the work that we're doing, the needs that we have here in Utah. They're very aware of the needs we have. They're aligned with what we need here. And it's just really nice to go in any capacity to meet with them and have them just say, you know, that they understand what's going on and that they're working with us. And then also to kind of, as an aside, okay, you're not here just representing South Jordan, but how's the city? What do you need? Tell me what's going on. You know, what? Tell us where you're at. And so they're always aware, and we work really hard to make that happen. And anyway, it was good.
That's great.
It was really good. Yeah, it went well. Our friends from the counties, the National Association of Counties also had their annual conference. So there were a lot of friends from the counties across the state of Utah who were there at their conference. And one evening they got together when there was no programming. We were done. It was like 8 o'clock at night, you know. And Representative Malloy, Congresswoman Malloy, was taking them on a tour of the Capitol. And so our friends from the counties invited me to join them. So it was fun to get to go and tour the Capitol with the Congresswoman and be there with a lot of friends from our counties from Utah that night, too. LPC meeting, Legislative Policy Committee. Thanks to everybody who's been so diligent at participating in that throughout the session. And it continues to go well. We only have one more. Every Thursday morning, I don't know if you know this, but every Thursday morning we also have the same kind of policy meeting, but for WFRC. It's early in the morning, and I have to be at the Capitol really early to conduct that meeting, but we have our WFRC policy meeting on Thursday morning, so we're just about wrapping up with this year's legislative session, so the next 9 days we have as much work as there's been all the weeks leading up to it now, just, you know, really crammed into a very tight amount of time. We had Council of Mayors meeting hosted by Draper last week. All of the mayors in Salt Lake County, but two. I know the mayor of Murray was out of town, and I'm not sure where the mayor of Riverton was, but all of the other mayors in Salt Lake County, including Mayor Wilson of Salt Lake County, but we all come together, and we meet regularly, and we had some really good meetings and found out that this legislature appropriations is saying we don't have the money that was requested in the budget for the state to put into the homeless resource fund that is meant to help make some of these cities that are hosting homeless resource centers whole, because it's a burden on those cities to host the resource centers. It costs them a lot of money out of their own residents' pockets, you know, to run those. And there is funding to help make them whole, but it isn't adequate. And so there was supposed to be more money from the state, and now appropriations are saying there's not money for that. So we had a robust conversation about that, and we ended up redrafting a letter that we had written about the importance of the state engaging in an overall homeless services effort and the need for funding from the state to help do that. The burden can't just be put on cities, and Wayne Niederhauser is doing a great job, but the state needs to take more of a role. And to come back and say at the end of the session, oh, there's not money for funding, that can't happen, you know. And so we ended up redrafting that letter, and every one of us signed it, and it's being sent off to the powers that be. So we hope that our voices matter. We think they do. We think there's a lot of weight behind having every mayor in Salt Lake County sign a letter, knowing that most of the service, not all the service provided in the state, not even close, but a lot of it is provided in Salt Lake County. So stepping in to help support some of those folks. We talked a lot about immigration. We talked about some of the things different. It was a very robust meeting, more than usual, but it was good, and I appreciate our alignment in committing to working together to try to support one another and come up with policy solutions that are going to help keep our communities strong in the face of a lot of challenges. So that's good. And then Friday, I had the chance. Took us a while to get this scheduled, but I very much appreciated President Taylor Randall, president of the University of Utah, and the person who oversees real estate land for him, coming out to City Hall. It's the first time they've been here. And yes, they came out, and we had a really great visit. Good conversation. It needed to happen. It was long overdue. When the agreement was made between the previous owners of Daybreak and the University of Utah on the land that they would acquire in the city, you know, we were there, Gary and I were there. It was at the president's office, the previous president's office. We haven't had a formal meeting about this since then, and we and I felt like it was important that we did. So President Randall came out, and he brought his real estate guy, and we had a really good visit to really launch and, I think, kickstart the relationship that will be necessary for us going forward to ensure that whatever programs and whatever it looks like having the university bring an extension or whatever it is they end up bringing here, that it's the right thing for our community. And that's part of where the demographic information came in that I was talking to Dustin about, and said, you know, these are some things that they said that they need this information. And so that's why it was just so timely and appreciated that some of that was shared tonight. I'm like, great, that's kind of what we needed to know, you know. So anyway, it was a very good launch to what I think will be a good relationship between the City of South Jordan and the University of Utah as we look to bring additional opportunities to the residents who live here. You know, so it was good. Anyway, that's my report for now. So, all right, now we've made it to our public comment period of time, and this is where we want to hear from you. So if there's anyone here that would like to address the council and has anything you want to share, we open the floor. Everyone gets 3 minutes. We ask you to give us your name and address for the record, because we have to keep a public record of everybody that, you know, participates in the meeting. But we would like to hear from you. So the only disclaimer that I give every time is that we promise to make sure that we maintain civility and a high level of respect in this chamber, and we ask the same from anyone who participates in the meeting, just to remember that we all love this city, and that's why we're here. So let's work together to come up with solutions. And with that, if there's anyone in person that would like to address the council, you're welcome to come to the microphone. The time is now yours. Okay. You're welcome to come on up. Yeah, please. You can tell us what you like, you can tell us what you hate, we'll take it.
Very intimidated.
I promise we're nice. Please don't be intimidated.
You're incredible, and thank you for all your effort and all that you, all the time that, and energy that you put into the city. So this is Marika, and I am Gina, and we live near Daybreak, but not in Daybreak. So I don't know if you're familiar with the 4-H livestock program. So this is her final year, and she does lambs, and she has always kept them at on a family farm near Price, and she really wants to go out with a bang this year and would like to keep them nearby. And she's asked me to speak on her behalf because she was too nervous, and clearly this is where she gets it. So we've done a number of things. We've called the city, trying to get a temporary permit to keep the animals at home. They said that wasn't allowed because it's not zoned, and I understand that. We were referred to animal control, to the equestrian center, to the 4-H program. We are still pursuing other avenues, but it was recommended that we come in person and ask if there's any way we could get a temporary permit to keep them at home. We have a third of an acre. We would fence them in. You know, well, our yard is fenced, but we'd also fence them within the yard. They wouldn't be terribly noisy, except maybe morning and evening feeding time. We would keep them clean, take care of the feed and everything to avoid any pests or smells, or, you know, as much as possible. They do need daily exercise, so we would have to take them out for walks around the neighborhood. We would take scoops and clean up after them, just the same as you would a dog. They would be leashed at all times, haltered. We do have adequate shade, feed, water, anything else you can think of. So that is our request, and we don't know if there's any sort of an option to pursue something like that.
I think that is a really good question, and I do not even know the answer to that. In fact, I've never even heard of taking a sheep on a walk in a neighborhood until literally 10 o'clock last night. My daughter, who's a senior, said that her friend is caring for some animals for his uncle while he's out of town this week. And they live in Bluffdale, and she said, we have to go take the sheep on a walk. And I'm like, what? And she goes, I do not know, but he thinks we're taking the sheep on a walk through the neighborhood. And I'm like, is that a thing? She goes, apparently, I don't know. So she was doing that today in Bluffdale, and I had never even heard of such a thing. So
well, good.
My best advice would be to see if do have their contact information.
I will get it.
Our city manager, let's have you give your contact information to Mr. Lewis and even find out. I honestly don't even know what the options would be, but he would be the one who could get more information and then make a determination whether or not that can happen.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you. Yeah. We appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Time.
Thanks for being here. Is there anyone else here that would like to address the council? Okay. Seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak? If so, please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay.
Mayor, I do like it when people come talk about animals, you know, at the city council meeting.
So,
or big animal lovers at our house.
That's good.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Thank you. Okay, seeing none, I will close the public comment portion of the meeting, and we will move on to our only action item of the night. We have item G1, resolution R-2024-18, establishing the Healthy South Jordan Coalition. We're going to turn to Janelle Payne, our Director of Recreation, to talk through this.
Is there a clicker? Oh. All right, thank you for taking the time tonight to go over this Healthy South Jordan Coalition program brought to you for your consideration. In this presentation, I'll go over some background over past coalition iterations, where we are today, and where we anticipate taking the city program if it is approved. I'll also give an overview of the Healthy Utah's Community Designation Program and explain how this coalition, if adopted as a city program, will aid in obtaining that designation. And then, of course, if you have any questions, feel free to jump in, or we could take those at the end. So the Healthy South Jordan Coalition has existed in a couple of different iterations through the years. The most recent one that I'm particularly familiar with was a group of community members who began meeting in about 2017. And for all intents and purposes, it was a volunteer-ran coalition with city staff from recreation, police, and fire participating as well, just as a form of community outreach. So that group held some community events in partnership with different organizations annually. And then during COVID, those efforts that were previously made weren't able to continue. Post-COVID, the membership had dwindled, and a handful of members were left, the majority of them city staff, still acting as community outreach to that group. Those volunteers also didn't have the capacity or the time to fill in some of those leadership roles that were really key in continuing the coalition and having a set purpose and initiatives. So at this point and looking forward, we're proposing that the Healthy South Jordan Coalition be adopted as a city program and ran similar to what we have with the South Jordan Youth Council. And then that will provide the coalition with, some needed stability, resources, structure, and then a unified purpose of earning and maintaining that Healthy Utah designation. So I think a lot of you are very familiar with this program, but just as an overview, this is a designation program offered by Get Healthy Utah in conjunction with Utah League of Cities and Towns. The designation recognizes communities in Utah for their efforts to improve their community health through various self-selected initiatives and strategies. So once earned, this designation is maintained over a 3-year cycle as well. There's 4 kind of basic steps or requirements to getting this designation. First, a letter of commitment, and I'll go into more detail in all of these, but as an overview, establishing a community health coalition, which we're here to discuss specifically today, and then identifying community health strategies and developing a community health plan. So first is that letter of commitment. To show commitment to the designation program and then the promotion of community health, Get Healthy Utah requires a letter of commitment. So for our purposes in the application, we anticipate sending a copy of the adopted resolution if it is approved, and then a letter from the mayor similar to an example here that we have for you. And again, it just shows our level of commitment to community health. Second, and what this resolution specifically addresses is the establishment of a community health coalition. So within the designation, the coalition would oversee the application process, develop the community health plan, oversee that plan's implementation, and then be comprised of at least 4 members who meet at least quarterly throughout the year. On the right side of the slide, I've also summarized just some points for you from the drafted bylaws, and those are in your packet as well if you want to look into more detail. But overall, the membership would be comprised of applicants who live or work in South Jordan City, and then also some consideration given to those who might not live or work in South Jordan, such as like Salt Lake County employees that are health educators that can provide resources to coalitions, and that is their main purpose. So that would be an example of someone that might be on the coalition or serve that way. Additionally, there would be a program coordinator assigned by the city manager, and then other staff assignments made as relevant and needed with those strategies in mind. And then membership would also follow the designation cycle with leadership roles elected annually. And those leadership roles are detailed out in the bylaws as well if you're interested for more detail. Third is the South Jordan, with South Jordan's population size, it would put us into the large community category of the designation, which means we are required to show at least 3 initiatives or strategies currently in place from each category here. So active living, access to healthy food, and then mental health. We currently have at least 3 strategies or initiatives and programs in each category that meet those requirements. So going for this designation, the city will not need to add any additional programs to be considered currently. Some examples of programs we have going right now that fulfill these requirements. So for active living, our South Jordan Race Series would check off one of those boxes. The farmers market would allow for checking off the access to healthy food. And then our medication drop-off locations is a suggestion in mental health category as well. The next part, the 4th and final step is in the designation process is creating a community health plan. And that involves reviewing area data just to gain a better understanding of community health needs that are present, identifying strategies or initiatives that tie to that data collected and that address community needs. And then during that 3 years after initial designation, and leading up to redesignation, 3 strategies, again, 1 from each of those 3 categories on the last slide, would need to be implemented. So those would be new, 3 additional new for the size of our city would need to be added. So I know that's a quick overview of both the Healthy Utah community designation process, but also I hope provided some insight and context into the importance of the proposed community coalition and adoption. And then I just wanted to add, too, that the establishment of this coalition as a city program is pretty key in obtaining that designation and continuing to build on the progress that we have made as a city and just further show our commitment to maintaining healthy lifestyles in the city. So That is all I have for you, unless you have questions about any of these specifics. I could go into more detail if you want.
Go ahead.
So this will establish a like another community committee of some sort of, for this purpose.
Yeah.
So will there be city staff assigned to that?
Yeah.
Would we have a council member assigned to that like we do the other committees?
Right. So it's more similar to the youth council program rather than like a committee or council under what this, I think that's what you're referring to, like the senior advisory or the arts council. So this would be a different program. So membership would not be limited. It's anyone who is interested, fills out an application. Council members would be welcome on that coalition as well. I think that is one thing that was really great about the last iteration. Pre-COVID, it was a very large and robust group of different stakeholders and community members in the city, business, school, city, just people who live here. It was a wide variety of people. So there would be a staff member assigned as a program coordinator to oversee the coalition, but there would be a chair, a vice chair, a community liaison, and a secretary too with different roles. And those are all outlined in those bylaws too.
Okay, and they would meet here
Quarterly, likely. Yep.
And would we provide a budget of any sort for them?
We had talked about having that within the recreation department and just to pay for refreshments and meals. A lot of the initiatives here are not at additional cost to the city. Mm-hmm. If we did implement new ones in that health plan and we identified those, we would go through the regular budget process if it had a price tag attached to it. Okay.
Thank you.
Questions? Yeah.
Anyone else?
No.
Okay, I'm a fan of, did you have one?
I was just gonna make a comment, but you
go ahead.
I think this is a great idea. I love this. And you know, I attended one of my favorite breakout sessions of the Utah League of Cities and Towns was several years ago, and IHC was in there, and they were talking about healthy cities and what they could do. And they talked about, you know, and I don't have any data to present. I didn't come prepared for that, you know, but it was very impactful, you know, when cities get involved and the health of the people that live there. And after I heard that and heard IHC go through that, I was already sold on that. I was like, that'd be great that if we could continue to do those things. And I know since then we've done a lot of wonderful things that, you know, that we provide. I think it'd be great if we continue to, we want to get that, you know, obviously, you know, try to get that designation, but regardless of the designation, I think we just continue to do a good job and reaching out to our residents, you know, that, hey, this is an initiative that we're looking on to keep, you know, provide healthy, you know, options, you know, for the residents of our city. And I think when you put that out there, I think it'll be a lot of residents that'll choose to participate.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I like this idea. So I just pulled up the article from February of 2022. I had the privilege of presenting the Healthy South Jordan Hero Award, the first ever one, to Bingham High School's Hope Squad at a school board meeting, and they all came, and I went and spoke, and we presented this award. Yeah, you were there. Yes, you were. Yeah. And did you get a hat? We had a beanie hat, and it had a little, we all took a picture.
We
on
still
the
have some hats from the coalition.
Yeah.
So, the past.
So I think it was originally put together by the county, because I'm still friends on social media with the young woman who initially was the county representative kind of.
I think she was the first chair when I first came into it, and Sam Winkler was very involved.
Yes.
So yes, it was.
Yep. And then Brian Sinan became.
Yep.
And so there's been a lot of turnover in each of their lives. None of them are doing the same thing they were doing at the time, right? I get that. So I love the idea of recreating this and bringing it in-house, having it be a city organized, city overseen initiative, but still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I also would like to just propose that we consider, as this comes together, doing something like the Healthy South Jordan Hero Award. And, you know, finding ways to recognize people who are being heroic in their efforts to try to help create a healthy community. Just
In my drafted application and ideas for the next 3 years and new initiatives, that's one that I had to bring back because that was really positive and impactful.
It was. And I think, I don't think we can ever over recognize the good work people are doing in the community. So I think that's a good thing. Anyway, Well, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. With that, this is an action item. So I'm going to ask if there is a motion on resolution R-2024-18 establishing the Healthy South Jordan Coalition.
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve resolution R-2024-18.
Thank you. Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Second by Mrs. Johnson. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead us in a roll call vote?
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. We look forward to this and lots of good things in store with this. It's a good thing. Thank you. Okay, staff reports and calendaring items. We're going to turn to our city manager, Mr. Lewis, and see what you have for us.
Just a reminder of State of the City on Thursday evening. I've still got a few available invitations if somebody needs one or knows of someone who would like to join us that evening. The other thing I wanted to remind you about was our budget meeting number 3 on February 28th. So that'll be next Wednesday. That should already be on your calendars. It's been there for a while. And then I just wanted to also indicate that the staff has updated my picture on the website now.
So it's current. I can too.
Yours would probably be more entertaining.
Let me hit refresh to make sure that it's the correct one now. Yeah. That's all I have, Mayor.
That's great. Thank you. Mr. Luce?
Not much going on. It's pretty quiet.
I was going to say.
Mr. Up at the league every moment.
If there's any legislation you're tracking, staff's done a phenomenal job at getting me stuff. And I think most of the things we find important, we've been able to weigh in on. I know the housing stuff is still going. There's a full report LPC. You can watch the video if you're not getting the daily emails or anything. Please let me know. Let's make sure you get the information you want. But a lot of different things going on. Happy to update you on any of them. And we've got like a week and a half left. March 1st, we're done. So
I think, as Cam said, only one more Monday to go.
One more Monday, yep.
Yeah.
So when the session is over, since I'm...
It's never over.
when it comes to a close, since I'm new here, do we have a meeting where we go over and say what really went through?
We can. In the past, there's a lot of stuff that happens at the league conference. It's in April. Okay. And so we can cover, what we usually do is cover the things that are important to us, that anything, like we've had ambulance bills and other things, just specific issues we're pushing, looking at. This year we've had some road funding, some different things, so I'll go over that with you. But for the big broad scope, generally the league conference does most of that, but we're happy to go over anything specific or general.
Because it has a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, it's...
What goes in doesn't always come out.
No, most, yeah. Hopefully what comes out is something we can live with too. So, but from that standpoint, yeah, if you have any questions about bills and which ones pass and stuff, we can do a update at the end. That's a good thing to do. One thing we talked about is inviting our legislators to come, and we invite them. They have a standing invitation. Many come, some don't. But if we want to do one night for them, it would probably be good to get the invite out sooner than later. So I can coordinate with the LPC group on that.
Thank you. And then probably a couple of months after the session, we'll give a little bit of time for everybody to get back to their lives and, you know, unbury from all the work they didn't have time for and all the things, you know. We're actually looking at putting together an event where we invite our legislators and some key leadership, legislative leadership, and some folks to come out and have a tour of the city and let us really show them boots on the ground what's happening here, what we're working on, where it's happening, what it looks like, because it looks different than people think. It looks different every day, you know, and so go away for the weekend and come back and it looks different, you know. So we're working on a concept for how we could put that together and try to have a really valuable, beneficial day with our legislators to talk through some of our needs going forward and show them what we've done with the resources we have and kind of what's going on. So, and along those lines, I didn't I feel completely blindsided by the fact that that funding has been adjusted. I know I keep saying that, but for the U-111, we got to dig into that.
I'll update you, but I've talked to several of the people involved, and it really depends on whose perspective you ask at the level that Brad's talking to and the people involved there. They say there's some issues, but at the funding level at the legislature, they feel they funded it, and so there's probably
funded it.
Well, that was their intent, and so we can figure out where the money's going and if it's getting all the way to this project and how that decision's being made internal to UDOT.
Yeah. Okay. Let's work on that before the session. Like, let's jump into that.
Yeah, we have.
We'll talk tomorrow. We'll talk tonight.
Yeah, Brad and I have had at least, what, 3 or 4 conversations on it and talked to a few legislators and our lobbyists.
Okay. I don't want the session to end with that not being looked deep at. So we'll do that. Okay. Anybody have anything else? Anybody, do you have anything for us? No? Anyone over here? Anything for us? Okay. All right. If that's it, then I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thanks. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 We are adjourned. Thank you.